Hey, everybody. Sorry about the little technical difficulties. I clicked the wrong bumper. I was like, 30 seconds. That's way too long. Welcome into Reality NFSW's coverage of Big Brother. I am your host, Bobby Goodsby, along with my co-host, Brent Wagamont, and my other co-host, Alex Rubino. We are happy to be with you here each and every Wednesday. Brent, how you doing?
Doing good. It's nice to be really, like, it's taken a while this season, but it's nice to be able to actually, like, physically despise someone in the house. Like, I mean, I love it when people play so bad and so, and they're so full of themselves that it just makes it so easy for us on the outside to just hate them so much. Now, we don't hate them as a person. Just to be clear, people don't understand me at all. Like, I don't hate this person as a person. Sure, she's very lovely, but within the confines of the Big Brother house and her game thus far, I'm just gonna absolutely fucking destroy her, Sarah Beth. Like, she is just, she is in for it tonight. I'm sorry.
Both,
she just is.
You and me both. And we also have in the house with us Alex Rubino. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm frustrated. This whole week is frustrating. The season's getting frustrating. I love it and I hate it at the same time. And yeah, that makes three on a roasting Sarah Beth because, oh, I have things to say about her horrible, horrible gameplay.
I know we're going to get to it, but the fact that I just have to say it right off the bat, the fact that she's like, oh, I don't give a shit about the BB Bucks because, you know, I could wipe my ass with those BB Bucks.
No, she told America. She told
America.
Us.
America
can wipe your ass with the BB Bucks because you don't give them to me anyway.
I'm just going to give this spoiler alert. Sarah Beth is not winning fan favorite this year. That's just, we know
right?
that already.
No. No way. I was planning on starting the SB for AFP campaign. It would have rolled right off the tongue.
I think there's a possibility she could literally come in like 16th out of 16th. Like, I mean,
I think that might be Brent. I think Brent can.
I don't know. I'd vote for Brent on his body alone. Like, I have other before I'd ever vote for Sarah Beth. Like, come on.
I think on Joker, sure. She's already below Travis and Frenchie at the moment.
No, she's not. What? I mean, that's the super fans who are just bitter. But I mean, I'm bitter too. In fairness, but
yeah.
Like, can we give Kylan a little bit of credit here?
Oh yeah. Oh, first of all, let's start. Go ahead.
Listen, nobody likes a steamroll. I'm not a big fan of a steamroll. I never have been. But as this goes on week after week, the cookout is impressing me more. They're not winning HOH, and they're getting these things to happen. And my God, Kylan has gone from best to worst to best to worst in an instant. I don't know how. It's like he literally has an on-off switch. He can be amazing player. He can be terrible player. This week was unbelievable how in one night he went from SB being like, I'm a strong, independent woman. I'm going to do whatever I want to. Yeah, Kylan, whatever you want. Okay, I'm just going to do exactly what Kylan thinks. It's just, wow. And the only thing that would have made that better is if they weren't whispering the whole night with nobody freaking around.
Yeah, I know. Let's start with the positives. First of all, Xavier continues to impress me. Like, he took being nominated by the roulette wheel as a total champ and got himself off the block. I do think his winning time, we'll talk about it, but my God, like, that should put some fear into the hearts of some people in the house who think, oh, well, you know, he's not won many competitions and all of a sudden he wins this one in 3 minutes. Kylan, wow. I honestly thought, Sarah, I had hope for Sarah Beth. I really did. When she won HOH, on Thursday night, I was like, the cookout is shaking in their boots. Maybe we're going to get a little. So even if we don't get somebody from the cookout out, maybe they're going to have to fight for it a little bit more. But, you know, who knew that all we needed was a little cuddling and whispering with Kylan up in the HOH room for four fucking hours. I don't know how long it was. It was a long fucking time. And she just totally acquiesces to him. And not only that, here's the part where I'm going to come for Sarah Beth, because Sarah Beth, it is unfathomable to me how she can see this as a good move. I think even today she just acknowledged that, well, I know that Derek X is not coming for me, But I still think it's better that Claire stays this week. I'm like, so you put up, like, you put up somebody who is not coming for you, who could be a shield for you to do everybody else's dirty work in the house. I have no idea what the fuck you think you're doing. Do you think this is like some big move that's going to give you traction within the game? The thing that she said to Derek X was, well, I'm afraid you're going to use the coin of destiny to nominate me and Kylan. Bitch, everybody wants to nominate you and Kylan. Everybody wants to nominate you and Kylan. Why are you holding Derek X accountable for that? Literally everybody would nominate you and Kylan, and you would be evicted if you didn't win the power of veto. And then the way she looks at America, who she's clearly pissed at. She is pissed at us, I mean America, the viewers, because she thinks we don't like her. And there's a reason we don't like her, because she's playing badly. We didn't give her any BB bucks because she's not entertaining. She's too damn fucking quiet. She's trying to play under the radar. And then even when she gets power, she lets a man control her fucking HOH. It's absolutely like nauseating. And then for her to go to the cameras and be like, sorry, America, I'm taking out your boy. What she really means is I'm jealous as fuck that he's getting BB bucks and I'm not. And I'm mad about it. So it's just a petulant HOH this week. And it's been really, really terrible to watch.
Well, and she has had nothing but great things happen to her because of Derek X. Derek X didn't steal the 5,000 from her. When she was, you know, on the block, she wanted oh my gosh, she's already been gone 2 weeks. I already forgot his name.
Christian.
What? She wanted Christian gone and up next to her on the block. And guess what Derek X does? He goes and puts up Christian because he wants to get rid of him as well to protect, not just to protect Sarah Beth, but it protects her in the long run. So all these things that Derek X has helped Sarah Beth with along the way, and this is how she repays him. It's just like,
And I get that. Like, there's a time and a place to stab somebody in the back and twist the knife. And we love that as reality people. And Sarah Beth is obviously a reality fan. And she knows that sometimes we love it. But we don't love it gratuitously. Exactly. There's no reason to do it to Derek X right now. If you want to do it to him, you know, final seven, final six, when you think that he might actually comp out, then twist the knife and take it away from him. But, girl, right now, I don't understand it. And again, it all comes back to letting Kylan control your HOH. Let me be clear. They do more touching than some of the showmances I have seen in the Big Brother house. It is nauseating watching them in the HOH room together and sitting all around the house together. Did you see every I'm so mad. Every fucking ceremony, he's sitting there next to Sarah Beth. It's like, this is my wife and I'm going to tell her what to do. Like, it's so weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. And then she's like to leaving the whole like to leaving Derek F in the game, and like he's gonna get the coin and probably put up Sarah Beth. Like, I can't wait to see her get, I can't wait. I'm gonna be rooting so hard against her for the veto next week because I can't wait to see her evicted.
SB is delusional.
One thing Sarah Beth got right this week is, yeah, America doesn't like her. Good on her for that. And you know what? I don't mind the pettiness towards America a little bit. I could
That's
understand.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
However, I feel like Sarah, the only way I can maybe get into like her brain and her mindset this week, which is a scary thing to do because it's not really there, is thinking, who's the best at comps this season? Just looking at this like in a very binary way. Who is best at comps? I need to win comps to win the game. And I think she's realizing the comps are getting more physical, so maybe I'll give her that toward the end game. But she's only looking at, how do I get to the end? I don't need people there. I need to get to the end myself. And who's the best at comps? Derek X. In that way, she's right. That's the only thing she has right, is Derek X is probably the best person at comps. She's not looking at this from any way of, I need allies to get me to the end of the game so I don't have to win all the competitions. But no, she's just like, Derek X is the biggest comp threat. Even though him being a comp threat would help me get farther, no, let me take him out just so I can look good. I know she can't see the cookout. And
that's the thing. I don't. That's the thing for my criticisms of her, for our criticisms of her. We don't even need to say, well, she doesn't see the cookout. It's irrelevant to me. Forget about the cookout for a fucking second. Like, the fact that you're taking out Derek X with this configuration of the board and where she sits in the house, for where she thinks she sits in the house. Let's like, screw the cookout for a second. Let's look at Sarah Beth and where she thinks she sits in the house. This is a terrible move for her. I don't understand what she thinks she's getting out of this. It's not even, in my mind, really a resume builder, because I don't think she really gets credit for it. Kylan does.
Yep. And what is she thinking? She starts this week talking about the jackpot. Like, maybe I'm going to resurrect the jackpot. Like, okay, fine, resurrect it. And you nominate Claire? None of this makes any goddamn sense.
You know what, Claire? Can we bring Christy back? Is it too late for that? Christy she thinks she's the 17th house guest. Can we bring her back? Because Claire, fuck you too. Like, you played this week. I know Claire loves us. She loves people who work in podcasting, but fuck you. Your game has been shit this week, mostly the entire season, but it's been shit. You are a lovely person, but you cannot see the forest for the trees. I do not understand how you can take being nominated so well. Like, you should have been able to get yourself off the block. You should have been able to be like, girl, I'm in an alliance with you. What are you doing? Why are you nominating me?
You should not have been nominated in the first place.
Yeah, why are you nominating? Right. I should not have been nominated.
Claire, I know, has this like energy and this desire that I want to see in every Big Brother player. And probably the only reason I want her to stay over Derek X is I know how bad she wants this. Like, deep down
whatever. Let me get there.
I know inside, like, she's like one of those fears from like Survivor Michigan, all this. She wants this. But I'm just like screaming at her, saying, and maybe it's why I'm more disappointed in her than DX, even though Derek X has also played this week terribly. And don't get me started there.
Yeah, I'm coming for him. Yeah.
Like, wake the fuck up. You are this close from going home. And next week, you're probably gone at this point. Like, just wake the fuck up. Your allies are turning on you left and right.
So, okay.
Tiffany doesn't care if you go at this point. You're screwed. Wake up. Try anything.
Normally we go about these episodes after we watch an episode on the podcast, we go and we break down the episode. But honestly, I think this is better. I think this is more what people want to hear. So it was kind of a snoozer of an episode, to be honest. Let's be real. Besides,
I don't need to watch fucking dominoes fall down six fucking times. Like,
exactly.
Really?
All right. So let's not even really get into the episode. Let's just break down how we feel, because this is where I feel like most of the entertainment is.
There was one funny moment from the comp, though, for me. And it was
all right. Well, tell us what it is. Go ahead.
It was at the front. Let me get there. And it was at the end when they're like, "Oh, somebody went for money," and they're all making fun of DF.
Oh yeah, that was
like,
good. That was good. Okay.
I'll give you that. Sitting there, and he's going to just sit there, and that's it. Sit on that big blue couch and be like, "Well, I was here. I played the game, and maybe he'll fucking win. I doubt it, but maybe he'll win." And oh, good lord, if he wins this game.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Thank you for reminding me that. I didn't have my notebook this time, so I didn't write things down. Wow. But yeah, DF winning the money and going being the only person to go for the money, which I thought was a little crazy, actually. Like, if I were some of those other people, I would have gone for the money. I don't understand why they let him have it.
Who else would? Maybe Alyssa?
Why does Asa
care? Girl, get you some money. Why does she want to win the goddamn power of veto? Who the fuck cares?
Asa was my next person. She wants Xavier. That's why. She always has a reason of like, you know what? Maybe I use it on Xavier. He'll kiss me or something. Like, I get that. Xavier's like one of the most beautiful men in existence. Fine. But like, Alyssa, you're safe already. You are completely safe. There was no shot of you going home. Literally none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was worse. Yeah, her. Asa and Alyssa, both of them. I thought they should have played. At least Alyssa, I understand a little more because she feels guilt. Like, she feels guilt.
She feels guilt from a roulette wheel that she had no control over.
I know.
It's irrational, and I would probably be feeling guilt if I was in her situation. I fully own that.
Anyway, but let me give credit to the show, because that was very funny. For those people who do not understand how DF got the $100 the first week, this is why. He can be very fun in the diary room. He can be very, like, I mean, I know all the DF has done. Big D, I'm talking about. I know all the Big D has done. I know that he is annoying at times, and he says the word bitch way too many times when he's like, cursing somebody out. But like, even I was laughing at him in the diary room, like when he was like, who could it be? Like, it was just very funny to me. And like, I needed, like, this episode was such a snoozer, and I, like, I knew where it was headed, that I really needed some levity in it. So watching, like, then the house guests were so mad, like when Xavier did the, when he did the thing and had his head sideways.
Yeah, I wonder who it is.
That was very fun. That was very fun. So I'll give credit to the show for that. Yes. But, yes. Yeah, like, oh, right. Man, like, talk about people playing, house guests playing badly. Yeah. Like, all it's so it's amazing to me, because all of the people who are not in, by the way, I feel like I'm hearing myself a little bit from somebody. I don't know where that's coming from. Like, here, it's like a teeny little bit. But everybody who's not in the cookout is playing so badly, because I don't understand why Alyssa, who is safe, is going for the H, or is going for the veto. She should have gone for the money. I don't understand why she's doing that. Derek X, we gave you money to save yourself with the roulette wheel, which you acknowledged at the end of the episode, and you didn't use it. You just allowed yourself to be backdoored. Sarah Beth, obviously, I've already eviscerated. And Claire, you're fucking terrible. So all the people who are not in the cookout are playing literally terrible. Like, the cookout is just like, they're so fucking amazing. And like I said, Kylan just gets A pluses all across the board. Like, it was nauseating to watch from Sarah Beth's perspective, but from Kylan's perspective, I was like, wow, like, where has this guy gone for a couple weeks? And then Xavier, just, you know, wonderful. Hannah is the only person I would probably call out, because I was listening to her in the episode, and like watching her in the diary room, I was like, yes, she understands Derek X needs to stay, this is good for her game. But god, watching her in the house, like, there were multiple times where she could actually try to save him. She was the one who led him down the dark path to not using the roulette power in the first place. He still thinks that she played. Do y'all realize that Derek X thinks that Hannah played in the roulette power, and he's gonna find out in jury that she fucked him? That's gonna be worse than if she had just done the deed herself in the house.
She not only opened, like, held the door open for Derek X to, like, walk through and fall down the cliff. She walked through, held the door open, like, walked him to the cliff and pushed him off the freaking cliff. This is so much of her doing, and now she's like, well, maybe I screwed up. Like,
I mean, that's the thing.
You're selling your number one ally down the freaking river. I get the point of getting the cookout to the final six, but you need to have a little bit of an army there for yourself to get past the final six. And then her plan right now of, let's do just girls versus guys, is also ridiculous, because her, Azza, and Tiffany can't win anything. I love them to death, and I hope they freaking win at this point, but they can't win anything.
I know.
Everybody is pretty much down the imbecile train at this point. Well, maybe, I feel like with the exception of Tiffany, Xavier, and Kylan. That's about it.
Alex, I have empathy for her, because she's such a young girl. Okay, woman, whatever. She's like 22, 23. And that's the reason why she wasn't invited to the cookout initially, was like, they were like, well, she's a little young.
Yeah.
And then they finally did, and that's now she's in. And I'm sure, like, I would not want to be 23 and confronting, you know, the 22 past seasons of racism in the Big Brother house, realizing I've been invited to something as awesome as the cookout, and thinking I might need to go against it for my own personal game, but for the cause, like, I don't want to be the one to fuck it up. Like, I can, like, that is a massive amount of pressure for someone that young.
I agree with you there. And I'm not even saying, like, she should be taking Derek X to the end, but my God, you should be fighting to have him as the last non-cookout member of the game.
She should be doing what Kylan did last week and intentionally trying to win that competition so that he won HOH, and, you know, a small part of it being so he could protect Sarah Beth. That's what she should be doing to protect Derek X in the house as her biggest ally outside the cookout.
And Derek X has also played this week terribly, but can I point at Tiffany a little bit? And I love Tiffany, but the fact that Claire is so expendable to her is still concerning to me. Listen, she's playing a great game, and she's probably going to be fine. And somehow, Sarah Beth thinks that Tiffany has her back 100%, even though Tiffany is literally saying behind her back that I hate her with all my heart. Tiffany, you have your number one ally not in your big alliance. At least just don't, like, sell them down the river. I want them to go. Keep them in the game a little while longer. Please, for the love of God.
I mean, here's the thing, Alex. On the people that I'm looking for blood from in this house, Tiffany is like, you know, like number eight on my list. Like, I do have a few bullets for her, but like, there's so many other people. Like, I feel like,
I feel like we're
selling Derek X a little, like, short here on how badly he's played. On how badly he's played this week? I mean, I saw him at the end of the episode. He was crying to us, and that did make me feel really bad. I was like, oh my God, that's terrible. Like, he knows he fucked up. He thinks he let us down.
But he's a recruit. Yeah. At the end of the day, guys, he's a recruit. We got to remember that. He doesn't know this game like others in this house. No. So I feel like he's played a pretty great game up to this point for having no knowledge going into this house.
Fair.
And to get to this point, he was going to make that rookie mistake. He was going to make that mistake. I feel if this guy gets any kind of knowledge about how to play the show and he gets a second chance, which I honestly think the show would be.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he'll come back.
He will absolutely destroy his second time around.
My thing is, I remember a couple weeks ago when he just said, oh, why did I only watch two seasons of Big Brother before coming? That's on you. Like, I want to give him like a little bit of slack of, hey, he's a recruit. But at this point, you recruited. You could have studied a little bit. He didn't. I'm going to call him to the carpet on that. You should know what's going on a little bit. And also, and I will say, he's played a lot of this game very, very well, picked up on so much of the game really, really quickly. But I feel like at this point, maybe he's just like stuffing his brain with so much information that everything has fallen out. He is completely clueless. And nearly everything this week was just completely boneheaded from start to finish.
Well, can we start with the obvious fact that he was HOH not long ago, and he...
Oh, yes.
Wait, who did he nominate with his HOH power? I have totally forgotten. He nominated the current HOH, Sarah Beth. Has he forgotten that? I don't understand. And not only that, he forced her to sit on the block against her teammate that she didn't want to do. He didn't let her in on the plan until later, till he was sure that it was going to go down. And then he forced her to stay there till the end of eviction night and watch Christian get evicted. Now, he did save her, but still, how in the fuck did he think that he was safe? Like, so safe that he didn't need to use the power that America was trying to send to him. How do you think that you're safe when she is HOH? Who do you think that she's targeting? Who? Like, if not you, then who? Who is she going to target? I feel like that was a simple question that would have led him to realizing he was going to go up on the block.
And at this point, he was like literally a footstep away from winning HOH. So like his bad decision started.
Whatever,
at
he
the
lost.
Of the HOH. I'm saying at the beginning of the HOH, like the way of which balance team he picked, he started like that bad decision making all the way there. And then it's like you're in this like roulette, the high roller room, whatever they call it, the stupid room, and thinking, maybe America's trying to send me a message. No, with somebody who I nominated,
America just likes
me. Oh, I must be safe. You know what? I did nominate her 2 weeks ago, and she's one of the only people that I nominated still in the frig game. She wouldn't hold any vengeance against me. And I mean, he had like maybe a little bit of an inkling, like him and Claire started to figure out the cookout. It's like, no, like, be in her pocket, like do what you can to like A, try to work with her, and B, get that safety and do what SB wants even. All right, hey SB, I got this power. Who do you want me to take down? Use anything to your advantage. Try to get any bit of safety, especially in a week like this. But
wait, can I just ask something really quickly? So, like, I don't understand, and I heard this on a different podcast that, like, so Derek X thought that Hannah was going to play in the roulette nominee thingy. I don't understand how he thought that was going to help him. If you're going to be backdoored, Hannah is going to be safe, and then the wheel's going to be spun, whether it lands on you or not, you're fucked. Like, you're still out in the open. How are you...
Because he thought he was completely safe. He just thought he was completely and utterly safe.
He might have.
And he wasn't going home.
A guy who's won that many competitions, who nominated the current HOH. Oh, sure, you're going to be safe.
And does he not think that anyone else in the house can do math? These people, maybe not good at the game for the most part. None of them are really good at the game at this point. But they can do basic math. They know you're the only one at this point. And I'm sorry, him and Big D are the only people who can compete for that coup d'etat next week. You don't think they want to take you out?
That's fair. He's a little high on his own sauce. He thinks that he's lying to people. They don't know that I have 200 bucks. Yeah.
I mean, Big D is also doing the same thing, but my God, these people know how to do basic math.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would we rather have with a literal overthrow of an HOH power? Derek X, who can win everything, is not in the big alliance, or Big D, who can all he knows how to do is lay down and go to sleep.
When you aren't 100% sure that either one of your closest allies or yourself is the one in control of the weak, and you have the ability to play for a power like that, you have to take it. Because guess what? Next week isn't guaranteed. Yes, you have the points to play in a better competition next week, but you could be HOH, and then that competition doesn't even really matter to you for your own personal safety. So to protect yourself that current week, when you have zero control and it's not someone that you're exactly 100% aligned with, you have to play the game. And that's where I feel like we see people mess up time after time. Now, these kind of, carnival games aren't something we see every season, but there's always someone that makes a mistake with one of these games, feeling too confident, too big in their britches when it comes to taking the power or playing for the power. And then we see them backdoored. And it's happened a few times that I can recall. I feel, for people in the future wanting to play this game, if your immediate ally is not there in power or you're not in power, play the game regardless of what's coming next week, because there might not be a next week, and this is proof in point.
Yes, 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 yes. Just curious, we had a couple different DRs from Tiffany this episode saying, if Derek X goes up, that's worst case scenario. Is it really? Because, yes, I obviously wanted Sarah Beth out. She won HOH. Alyssa's safe with the power. Your other best ally, Claire, is on the block. And you don't want anybody in the cookout out. Derek X is literally the only person who can get nominated.
It's fair.
What were they trying to sell us? Like, I don't think she thinks this. What were they trying to sell us? Who would she have wanted up in this hypothetical universe?
I think she wanted X to stay on the block. She could get rid of Claire, maybe, and keep Derek X?
Listen, I love Tiffany, but none of that makes any sense for advancing her.
I know.
It's just crazy to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Is it just X at this point, or I could really see winning this game? Because,
Alex and Bobby, true or false, when we get to finale night, Xavier is going to be the winner of Big Brother 23.
Well,
true or false?
I'm going to say false.
Well, who? Wait, all right.
Based on what evidence, bitch?
Yes. Yes,
based
please.
Off
your intuition?
My own bias.
All right, Bobby. Let's go through this then. Let's go through. Right. So obviously, no one not in the cookout's winning. So Alyssa, Sarah Beth, Claire, they're out. Easy. Let's see. Big D can get to the end. Is he getting a jury vote? Lord, hope not. Hannah can't really win any competitions at this point to get her there, I don't think, unfortunately, and as much as I would probably enjoy it. Azza, I don't think, has enough to get herself to the end and get the votes to win. Kyland knows how to play half the time, and then the other half is completely too high on his own sustenance to win. So Tiffany's probably the only person I think that could oppose him the most. But she doesn't win. Yes, exactly. Then
won the wild card thing.
Who's it coming down to? Tiffany won a comp against two other people, one of whom was throwing it to her.
Yeah, I know, right?
Xavier is like Mr. Perfect winning competitions by accident.
I'm hoping that they see that. I saw someone in the chat. It was like X is playing like such a smart game right now. I'm like, yes. I'm hoping the rest of the house guests, especially the ones in the cookout, will see that and think, if he's sitting there at the final seven, girl, we need to take him out. Like, I'm so worried that they'll keep him just on account of the cookout.
Well, that's why I'm saying that Tiffany and Kylan, in my opinion, are too smart to realize that X is playing this fantastic behind-the-scenes game that he's just not going to be carried to the end. That's why I'm saying it's false, because I don't believe those two will allow that to happen.
I would almost rather see a really messy, overwrought Kylan win than an easy coast to the end Xavier win. Like, exactly. That's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, I feel like Xavier is the default at this point. Like, mm-hmm. Xavier's going to win unless something wonky happens. And if something wonky happens, what can that wonky thing be? I feel like it's Kyland. I feel like that's the answer.
Yeah.
I think you have Xavier and, like, Tiffany are, like, the top tier of who can win this game. And I think everybody else, like, has next to no shot at this point.
See, just I look at it as Xavier and Kyland.
Even I think Kyland is a good player, and I think he has, like, really good, like, highs. I also think he has really low lows, and I also think he would be the one who may not either would see what Xavier's doing and not be concerned of it or not see it until it's too late. That's where I'm at. And I also think, like, half the time you love Xavier, half the time Kyland, half the time he's not very well liked. Even by people when he's on the line, they get frustrated with him.
I feel like he has some respect. Did you see, just to bag on him a little bit, did you see Kyland, I think it was yesterday or today, he was saying, like if I gave my thoughts, I'd really want to have some time because, like, I feel like that I wouldn't be able to be concise enough. I'm like, you think? Like, Kyland does not know the meaning of the word concise.
And then also,
talks.
Hannah has Winnicketty.
I think she's a dark horse. Can she win anything?
Neither has Tiffany. Tiffany hasn't won anything. Well, she's played a great game.
Tiffany's also playing a much better game than Hannah is.
I feel like I trust Tiffany more. I don't know why.
Yeah, but I absolutely trust
Hannah's got DX in her corner now in the jury. And honestly, I feel like Hannah could put her roots into this house. If she starts winning something, she could really have a good run.
That's a big if. You know where Hannah could have DX that would help her? In the freaking game!
Well, yeah,
that obviously might help her. Sure, in the jury, she has one vote, and after DX finds out that Hannah not only, like, didn't vote to keep him, but sold him down the river and was campaigning for him to go, and also pretty much concocted the plan to get rid of him, do you think he's going to be very happy? Probably not. Maybe he's mature, and I think he is. Like, he could be the bigger man and all that, but I don't think he's campaigning tooth and nail for Hannah to win. It's like, all right, I can get over it, and I might vote for her, but I would bet you a lot that he's not going to be campaigning for Hannah to win this game at this point. She doesn't have him.
You know what? This is boring. Can we go back to bagging on Sarah Beth? Is that cool?
Well, I was just going to say, yes, speaking about Sarah Beth, like, she's got clear win equity in this game, too. Also, if we get to the end and we have an Azza, Derek F and SB final three, like, just
that's not happening. SB is gone.
I know. It'll never happen in a million years, but my God, could you imagine?
Just imagine an Azza and Big D final two at this point.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, that's
these
more
guys
possible.
Take each other out. It's
yeah, exactly. It's possible, and that's why I'm more annoyed at it.
I'm hoping, I would hope at that point that Azza would be the one to win the power, whatever it was at that point, veto HOH, and be the one to crush X and put him on the jury for him to vote for her to win the game. That would be awesome.
My concern with Azza, I feel like even if she makes a move like that, she wouldn't be able to own it well. She'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, it
wasn't me. She's gotten better. She's gotten a little
she's
better
getting better.
Week.
I'm still worried about that. I'm still worried about the fact of her not being able to own her moves. Whereas, like, if she wants to win, I think she'd be found three. X, you are the best player of this game. I'm taking you out. Go to the jury.
I will.
Can
I ask this question?
That's what I want to see.
So, like, Big D, Bobby, has he gotten, like, has he gotten more likable? Because I feel like he has.
I feel like he's more likable.
I mean, a little bit. I just think he's gone from nowhere to somewhere.
He can only go up from where he was at.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't hate him as much as, like, the first four weeks of the game when he was, like, infatuated with Frenchie, even when he was gone.
I think people have presented themselves as bigger enemies in this house, or bigger, you know, villains in this house than he has. And he's been kind of, like, almost like that joking point, just someone that you're like, oh, well, you know, Big D, you know, like, it's like almost like a running joke at this point. We've heard people say, oh, everyone wants to sit next to him at the end because they know they can beat him. Like, he's got the likability factor and the fact that it's almost like a joke. And that's where I feel bad at the same time, but it's going to work for him. He's going to get pretty far.
Yeah, that's fair. Heather says in the chat, to answer one of our earlier questions, that the reason that the reason that Hannah played in the roulette thing and DX didn't is because they thought that Hannah would win and pull down Claire, and even if DX went up, they would have the votes to send Big D home. That's delusional, but okay.
Yeah,
but I'm with you.
Now, it's just crazy to think that if we go back to the beginning of the week, and I know you said, whatever, DX lost the competition. If he doesn't go for that first beam, the skinny beam right at the beginning, he crushes that competition by a landslide.
Yeah.
And we have such a drastically different week. There's so many things that one thing changes, this whole week is different. If he competes in the roulette wheel competition, he probably beats Alyssa. And guess what? He's safe for the week. There's so many things that, like, yes, it's a back door of DX, but I feel like he's had so many opportunities along the way that it doesn't feel like a true back door, even though it is.
It's one of the most preventable back doors that there is, and that's they're fair. Still getting him out through the back door. That's what's even more sad about it. It's as much as I like TerraGex, this is one of the worst played weeks from somebody getting backdoored I've seen in a while. It's one of the worst played weeks by a nominee who isn't going home in Claire, and it's really one of the worst HOHs I have ever seen in Big Brother. This is so bad. It's reminding me of like Maggie playing Howie like a fiddle in BB6. Like that's where I'm thinking with this week.
So I will say that Derek Lavasser, the winner of BB16, tweeted out this week that he's tired of seeing people in the Big Brother house not get a chance to play for veto because of their chip not coming out of the bag. Let me finish. So he's tired of that. And he feels like after this season that Big Brother should really change the rules and allow for everyone to play in the veto like they did in the first season that they had the veto. Because it like there's so many people by the wayside. And my response to that is like all of those people that Derek Lavasser is talking about, they would kill for the opportunities that Derek X has had this week to save himself and prevent himself from going up on the block. Like he didn't need the power of veto to save himself. He could have won HOH outright. He could have used his BB bucks that we gave him to save himself and win the roulette power. Like to me, it's not even a true backdoor because even though he didn't play in the veto, he had opportunities to save himself.
Yep. 100%.
I think the beauty of the backdoor is such an interesting part of the Big Brother game to me. And I think you get rid of it, you're making it almost, you were taking away such good gameplay moments. We're able to see from like the best players who play this game, like Derek Lavasser, for example, who can use the backdoor to not only create a more interesting week, but get people out in such like, it makes them like think of another level of strategy that having everyone play for the veto would just take out. Like, come on. Yes, I agree. This is annoying. And Derek X sure had some bad luck. He also caused this on himself, but still no. Like, just because, things aren't going your way, we should change rules. Stop with this crap.
I feel like this is a little bit of revisionist history, too, for Derek. Because in Big Brother 16, if that would have been the case, he would have absolutely hated that scenario. So why are you saying this now? I get it that everyone doesn't want Derek X to go. Everyone loves Derek X, and we know that we're probably not getting a jury buyback. So, obviously, this is going to be the last we see of him if he goes home this week. But You can't just be like, because it's Derek X, we need to change the rules. No, you can say that about anyone, you know? And also, the fact is, if they ever were to do that in a future season, the one caveat I say to that rule is give everyone like a one-time token to be able to play in a veto situation once in the season. Once you use it, it's done. But
that wouldn't be bad. That would be, I will say that I don't like you think that somebody like Derek Lavasser, who is always cognizant of how he's coming off on social media, like as opposed to like myself, would realize that tweeting something out that on social media about like, we need to change the rules on a season where the cookout is controlling everything was not the best of looks. And I feel like that was an unforced error on his part, I feel like, myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's completely unforced.
Yeah.
And I just want to say one thing about the cookout that like is so interesting. Everyone's saying, it's been a steamroll for them. And in some ways it has, because they've gotten everything they want. But they're doing it with winning less than half of the HOHs. You got to give them that.
I feel better about cookout this week.
It's so much more interesting than like the committee last season, for example.
The last 2 weeks, I've been a little down on the cookout. This week I feel much better. I feel much better about the cookout. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Kylan was so insidious in the way he just incepted Sarah Beth's mind. And it's like, is Kylan that good or is Sarah Beth that pitiful? I don't know, but it happened. And he got the nominations that the cookout wanted, most of the cookout anyway, that Xavier won, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, point being that they got the nominations that they wanted. And this is what it wrought. Like this week, even though they weren't in power and they were the cookout was nervousing a little bit, they're going to come out of it squeaky fucking clean. I'm amazed. Again, I am mortified that the women of the cookout seem to be willing to acquiesce to the men of the cookout and almost hand them the game. They're going to I have so much empathy for them because I said this about Hannah, but really it's about Tiffany and Azza too. In order for them to win the game, they need to get rid of Xavier before the final six. But in order to do that, they have to quote unquote betray the cookout. So I understand where they're coming from. I wouldn't want to be that person to have to be the one who fucked up the fact that we could have got all six of us to the end. And it was because of me that it didn't happen. So they're in such a rotten place right now. I feel like I know a lot of people are bagging on the women because they feel like that they're just handing the men of the cookout the win. But what do you want them to do? Look at it from their perspective in the house.
Can I posit one idea that I think might be better for them? At least for the most part, instead of trying to set up a gender war of, all right, we'll just take out the guys, try to get Big D and Kylan on your side and saying, hey, we get to final six. Xavier needs to go. There is no other way around this. We need Xavier to go right now. There is no negotiating. We all need to fight tooth and nail to win HOH and Vito. And the first chance we get, we have to take him out. I think they need to be planting these seeds now. So for final six, yes, maybe it would be a boring week for us. That is the only shot any of them have at winning this game. Get him out immediately. Then who are you competing against? Kylan, maybe. And yes, Kylan can win things. But at that point, you're almost at 3-on-1.
I just feel like that ship has sailed, honey.
Oh, I agree. The ship has sailed. But they haven't even tried to jump on the ship.
I know.
That's the problem.
Hannah is more loyal to the guys, I feel like. Asa has finally seemed to woken up, but it seems almost too late.
I think Oz is almost too into Xavier to make that move right away.
I feel it's all over but the crying at this point. I don't mean crying as in I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be amazed that Xavier got to the end and won, but he's going to win. I don't know. What's going to disrupt that? Here's the thing. I will give you the scenario where Xavier does not win the game. It's final six. Tiffany somehow wins I don't know what HOH, but maybe he's the outgoing HOH. Maybe he's final seven HOH and he wins. He's the outgoing HOH. She wins HOH the final six and she nominates him. And the veto is, I'm trying to think of some veto that he could win. Oh, girl. I don't know. I'd have to look back at it.
There is one scenario.
Blackout.
There is one scenario I think that could get him out, and it could be when we likely have the inevitable triple eviction, which I believe we're going from 7 to 5 that night, which on production's part.
Terrible. Why are they doing this?
I know. And I'm not sure if this is CBS or them, but if it's them in any way, shape, or form, and good Lord, why are you doing this? But that spot is, I think, where you could get Xavier out. Even if he wins the first one, get him out right away.
Yeah, just to put a pin on that, Alex is not wrong. Paridium, our fan of, I think it was Paridium, wasn't it, on Twitter, who went through the TV listings two or three weeks from now, CBS has allotted 2 hours for Big Brother.
It's on the night.
For the night from the final seven to the final five. So it's definitely another triple eviction, basically two double evictions back to back. It's not like the Big Brother Canada triple evictions, thank God. But still, it's going to happen that night at the final seven. Yeah. So, yeah, all of that interesting stuff about the cookout finally breaking up and them targeting their own, it's going to happen in over 45 minutes. It's going to be gone.
It's going to be
take the shot.
Yeah, it's the roadmap to the end, basically, as far as I'm looking at a calendar. So next week we go from 9 to 8. Then on the 9th we go from 8 to 7. And then we are then going right away from 7 to 5. In the course of the 2 hours.
And five to finale happens like that. So I'm so mad about this.
Well, actually, not this season. we have 3 weeks from five to the finale.
Okay.
Because well, the finale is not until the
29th. Oh, that's going to be interesting.
Yes. 3 weeks of that.
So Doug says in the chat that the triple eviction from Big Brother 22 was its highest rated episode last summer. So again, I don't have a problem with them doing a triple eviction, especially the way that they do it. It's cool. I just don't like it when they do it at the final seven, like do it at like the final 10, like because there's always riffraff that enter the jury. Yep. Then like do it then. Why are you doing it at the final seven?
And I also
I hate to bring up this.
We have to take a commercial.
We're almost an hour in, so we'll be right back with our commercial break.
Zach, back in the day, I used to love watching professional wrestling every Saturday morning after my cartoons. And whenever I did, my favorite part was enjoying cereal with it because cereal was cool. But of course, growing up, cereal being the best part as a kid, I had to give it up. Why? Because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't really eat. Now, I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realized I basically can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking protein shakes and powders for years, but I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before and after workouts. Now, hey, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring, and Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff.
I am hooked on Magic Spoon too. This stuff has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. We're only talking about 140 calories in a serving. Plus, it's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. Now you can build your own box or get a variety pack with available flavors of cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, and cinnamon. I am absolutely hooked on Magic Spoon. Like I said, my favorite is to blend some of those flavors. I like to mix up my cocoa with my frosted. That is some sugary deliciousness that I can't resist in the morning. Johnny, what's your favorite?
Oh, I'm mixing the cocoa with the peanut butter and I'm doing a peanut butter cup action. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's good stuff. And if you want to join us in eating some Magic Spoon, just go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back from our, you know, normal commercial break interruption that everybody loves so much. Let's get back into it. Alex, I apologize we had to interrupt you. Go ahead. Do you remember what you were going to say?
No, honestly.
I was going to say, like, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah. But let's get into it. Basically, do we think Derek X has any chance of survival this week? Is there anything that he's done or can continue to do to stay alive in this house?
I don't see it. I want to say I see it. I don't at this point.
So, I mean, obviously, Twitter was a gag over the fact that, you know, Tiffany and sort of Hannah, you would think that Hannah would be leading the charge to try to save Derek X. But no, she seems to be the one who's more annoyed that Tiffany's trying to save Derek X. We're going to get Azza to vote to save Derek X, and Kyland would give a sympathy vote. You know, it's always this, like, you know, we have enough votes. Almost, but that plus the sympathy vote, if the sympathy vote happens, will be enough to save. It's that whole, like, ridiculousness. I don't think Derek X is going to stay. It's going to be a fabulous interview with Julie. Julie already has pre-made questions to ask Derek X. I'm sure she's going to ask him, you know, America gave you 200 BB bucks. Why didn't you use them? You nominated Sarah Beth. You know, like, I mean, like, she, or like, the questions, bitch, they're already made. She just has to ask him tomorrow. You know, he's going to be like, he's going to feel bad. I'm sure he's going to feel bad, but he's going to, like, he's like, honestly, here's the thing. I watched Amon Adwin, my friend, go gaga over Derek X at the beginning of the season. And I didn't understand, like, what he was all aghast over. Like, I just didn't get it. But then, like, as I've watched him on the feeds and I watched him on the show, he's just like, he's such an angel. Like, and he's hot too. But, like, it's amazing, like, that those two things are, like, together. Like, I'm just like, where did you come from? You know, I totally see it now. I'll just put it that way. So, like, he's going to be evicted tomorrow. We're going to be stuck with freaking Claire and Alyssa. And Sarah Beth's dumbass. Sarah Beth,
Now let's see.
Try to continue. Mount the challenge here.
If it weren't for COVID, you think Julie would hit him on the head with the cue cards? Being like, why didn't you play in the competition?
Bobby, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Really?
You really did. I mean, there are many people this season that I would want to get hit in the head with a card, mostly Brent at the beginning. But, like,
who was that? Dakari in the chat said that he's going home with an idol in his pocket. I mean, that's the tea, isn't it?
He's going home with an idol, a steal of vote, and like three other advantages.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god. And this will mark another season where I get a Big Brother winner pick wrong, because I had faith in Derek X and I almost picked Claire, which frankly they're both disappointing me, so it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, I know.
But here we go.
I know. Like, did you notice that? I don't know if this is like, I don't know. I don't know if this is like an old wives' tale or something, but I swear I've heard on social media, Twitter, that production like asked him like three different times if he wanted to play in the roulette power. Like, they were trying.
I bet in the DR they're like feeding him questions along the lines of, what makes you feel so safe? All this stuff. Like, on and on and on. I'm just like, Derek X, they're trying to tell you something. Stop thinking the show is perfectly innocent and would never try to skew anything anyway in any favor. Like, they have favorites. Come on. Like, you know this.
It's so frustrating because clearly if America's giving you the max amount of money each week, it's one of two things. Yes, you're probably one of the most loved people in the house. Great. Which he is. So I can see where he would think that. But secondly, probably means you're in some goddamn trouble, so you need to use it. Like, go and use it. And I just that's why he's just not knowledgeable.
Could there possibly be, says Ben in the chat, that there is a BB battle back after next week? Why don't you think so?
I think with COVID, unless they're going to do a fake double eviction, literally the way BB Candid, I don't see them bringing somebody back at this point. I also think they would have, I mean, don't they usually tease it a little bit? Like, maybe not to Brittany. I feel like the audience, at least, we would get an inkling in some way. Like, maybe there's a shot.
I don't think they tease it.
Not necessarily, I agree, but I feel like they would maybe hype it up a little. Like,
I mean, are we really going to spend 3 weeks going from 5 to 2? which is really 5-3 because they always do the third place person on eviction or on finale night. So it's really like, we're going to go from 5-3 over 3 weeks.
I think maybe we get a fake double. That's what I think we could do. That's my biggest theory.
Canadian. I agree with the chat on that. It's very Canadian. I don't know.
It's very Canadian, but they have been copying Canada for a lot of the season.
Yeah.
Just think about it. The Team Twist copied them. I can see them doing it. I really could.
You know what's American, though, is the reset button. Bring it back this week. Of all weeks to bring it back, this is the week.
Xavier would be so mad because he's starting his punishment right now, which they're showing on the feeds rather than like trying to show the flip talk, which I don't understand why they're showing. We don't want to watch unless Xavier's going to tell us his final six plans. I don't give a fuck about watching Xavier in a room by himself unless he's got a shirt off because he's not talking to the cameras right now. And he's not talking to the cameras right now. I'd rather watch Tiffany try to flip the vote now that Xavier's in isolation so that she can do it while the cat's away.
And I will say this. I was very into this season at the beginning of the season. Like, and I loved everything going forward in the season. And it's really enlightened me into the fact that I love the cookout. Like, I love the members of the cookout. I really enjoyed this alliance. It's not like a majority that you're just rooting against because you hate the alliance. You actually can, you know, see yourself liking these people, seeing, you know, these people could be your friends on the outside because these are people that you actually enjoy to see and watch on your television screen. I love that, but I hate how the season's going because it doesn't matter if I love the alliance or not. If it's a steamroll, I don't enjoy the season. And I've really come to realize that because pretty much every time we see a steamroll, I don't like the alliance that's running it. So I don't like the season. This time, I like the alliance. I don't like the season because of that.
Bobby, well, I feel like where we got off track was, like, to me, I don't know where it changed. I need to go back and find out when. Maybe I should just tweet and ask a damn question. Because I thought for the longest time, it was, let's just get all six of us to the jury. That was the goal. And I was like, that sounds fucking awesome. Get all six of you to the jury. And then you can start making your own plans. Like, Tiffany's going to try to keep Claire. Hannah's going to try to keep Derek X. Like, this is going to be fun. And then it became, let's all get to the final six so that we can guarantee a cookout winner. And that became less fun because then it's all about the cause. And it's really hard to get down on a cause. It's not even like, I don't even feel good like podcasting and saying, oh, I find this boring because it seems like, well, oh, you don't like the cause then, Brent? No, exactly. I'm happy for it. I think it's amazing. And I understand why it's important to get all six of them to the end so they guarantee a cookout winner. It's just, causes aren't fun to watch.
I think what's so interesting in this is that they're almost like just regular players who say, I want to make the next milestone. Like Survivor, it's like, oh, I want to make a swap, then I want to make a merge, then I want to make jury, then I want to make the family visit. And you keep going and you're like, huh, I can do this. That's what this alliance has basically done. All right, let's just get us all to jury. Or what's the next milestone? There is no loved ones visit. There's like no battle. So it's get us to the end. And I get it. And they're like most other alliances that want to stick together. And yes, I think we can all call them out as boring. At least this, like, there's a little bit of juice to them. These people are at least more interesting. And they're doing it.
They're way more lovable.
They're way more lovable. And they're doing it without having to win HOH. They're actually flexing strategic muscles. Yes, they're not sweating as much as I'd like them to be. But they're the reason they're not sweating for the most part by taking advantage of people who we thought for the most part were pretty intelligent with the game. And they're making them look like fools.
I saw someone say that the cookout has taken out people and, you know, totally dominated the game and they've done it without, you know, getting into fights along the way or something. I'm like, I'd pay for a fight right now.
Can we get
some drama up in the house? Like I'd like to see two be like when Tiffany and Big D were going at it in the storage room. Like I was like, oh yes, okay. Like this is I need something like this.
All right. I do want to ask one thing because we were loving the season pretty much up until jury. How much of the season basically falling down the hill is due to the high roller twist? Because I'm starting to think more and more.
I feel like the way they structured it, like the fact that they like basically allowed it for other people to figure out how much money other people had, they should have just done it more open-ended and said, you know, America, you can award $10 to $100 to each house guest, and made it so that the house guests can't tell who has how much money, because the house guests were quickly able to figure out who got the $100 the first week and then who got the $100 the second week based on what everybody else got. So and that's basically, I saw a tweet that was like, oh, America's going to give us BB bucks. Thanks for the info, America. Like, they know where all the money is and who has all the advantage money.
Oh, it's so and then all these competitions, like, to gain, say, if you do get game-changing powers, are basically random. We're nominating somebody randomly. Let's just give the big alliance more control of the game. That's what I think these 3 weeks have done, is give that big alliance more control of the game. And frankly, listen, production, you did good up to jury. The team's twist actually worked. The wild card worked. And then you got cute. And then you went back to your stupid ideas of, let's have America vote. And let's have a twist that we don't think through enough, because none of us in production know how the hell the game of Big Brother works at this point. The players of game day. And now next week, who's going to be able to play for the giant big coin of destiny coup d'etat bearer? Big D?
See,
and who else? Unless they change something, who else is going to play?
Can anybody else get enough money if they win $100?
Let's see.
I have no idea. I couldn't.
Maybe Xavier?
No, anyone in the bankrupt. Chat, do you guys know who would have enough? Because off the top of my head, I have no idea.
Big D.
I think it's just Big D as well. But I would say this. I feel like this twist had potential. I really do think it had potential. But when you put such an enormous final prize at the end, where the other two aren't even really worth playing for, then it really dilutes the first two competitions, making the last one, you know, whatever, a crapshoot at that point, because if you don't have the points, you're not playing. And then two, everyone's saving their points for that, so people aren't playing the other games because it's not worth it unless you're going for that last one. So it just sucks that there was potential there. I don't think they staged it right.
And I kind of, in some ways, like the aspect of them giving the players more information, because I like the aspect of players should know what game they're playing. And I like that the players are smart enough to game this for the most part. I don't like that the production didn't think it through and they're like, all right, we have to have this power in this week, then this one in the next week, this one in the next week. And the only way you can make it is if you're careful and conservative. Let's have these big changing powers decided by random.
And people are saying in the chat that Hannah, she gets 100 BB bucks.
Is she getting 100 though?
I mean, look, with Derek X out of the way and Brittany out of the way.
It's possible.
So who's getting it? It's Big D again, let's assume.
Big D and then...
Xavier? No, I think
Xavier and Hannah. Xavier and Tiffany. Tiffany.
Yeah.
But we know Tiffany can't do anything with it.
You think maybe Claire?
Claire, girl, bye.
Not saying I would, even though I kind of want her to, because I really think Claire.
No, she hasn't gotten it big enough. I guess she hasn't gotten big enough.
I think she's been on the block all week. I think people could see she's in danger. Let's maybe get her.
She's unlikable. She's unlikable when she's stupid. Okay. She's being stupid.
SB might get negative $50 this week from America.
Leading into that, can we talk about what I guess are the best case scenarios for next week, and what is, I guess, the expected scenario?
Yeah. Go ahead. What do you think, Alex?
I mean, at this point, I guess Claire winning HOH is probably our best case. Maybe she uses that to gain any kind of traction. I think Alyssa could be decent, but I almost worry she'll just do what Xavier wants. And then the cookout, what's interesting there? All right. Sarah Beth goes, right?
I mean, I feel like Sarah Beth's going no matter what. I mean, even if DF lands on the wrong side of the coin of destiny and doesn't get the power, if somebody like Claire has the power, I still think that Kyland and Sarah Beth are going to go up on the block, especially if somebody like Claire won, because those people nominated her.
Well, let's say Sarah Beth wins the veto. Who goes in her place? Big D, and then
Alyssa.
Okay. What if Alyssa is it?
Yeah.
How do we get a cookout member out?
We're dead
question.
In the water. With Can Derek we? X gone this week, we're dead in the water.
Oh, I agree.
Unless
what makes it interesting to get there?
I'm trying to tell you. unless Claire realizes that putting somebody like Alyssa up on the block is not good for her game, or if Alyssa winning HOH realizes that putting somebody like Claire up on the block is not good for her game. That would be the only way that we could get a member of the cookout out of the game. But I don't see that happening. Both of them have allowed themselves to be manipulated by other people and don't have a real thought in their head. I mean, like, Alyssa will do exactly what Xavier tells her to do.
Well, yep. Oh my God, will she?
I mean, so I guess Claire's the only real option, but she's gonna do what Tiffany tells her to do. Like, whatever. Let it happen first. Then I'll get excited.
Within the cookout, who's the most interesting? I feel like Tiffany. I want to see Tiffany with power, frankly.
Yeah, that's the one. I feel like Tiffany, she's also the oldest. I feel like she's the one who has, like, the pressure to me is not as big on Tiffany because she's like, look, I want the money. I came here for the money. I didn't come here for anything else.
Tiffany or Xavier, because Xavier, for one, so that he could basically get his hands dirty.
Yeah, he gets more exposed.
Have to play hard. And because at this point, who's he going to put up besides the obvious targets? And then if one of them gets, you know, takes themselves down, then he's getting his hands dirty no matter what.
I think at this point, I'm kind of okay with anybody winning HOH that's not named Kyland for the most part, because I think Big D being HOH would kind of be comical in a way, and I think we'd have HOHitis up to the hills. I think Aza winning HOH can maybe get her to wake up and maybe see she's not in the best position. Then you go Tiffany, obviously, I think, could, if she wants to get Sarah Beth out, she's going to have to, like, basically rip Sarah Beth's heart out. Because for some reason, Sarah Beth is still so snowed by Tiffany thinking she's good with her, which is beyond me. And then for the guys, it's like, yeah, I think Xavier getting his hands dirty is interesting. That's really it. I mean, that's the whole cookout, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The only thing that would be interesting is if Derek, Big D won HOH, which I know, haha, but like, let's say he did.
It could be a quiz con.
Let's say he won, and then like the twist blows up in their face. That would be fun because he's the only one with enough money, assuming Hannah doesn't get $100. That would be the tea.
I mean, the steamroll's not working, but this good gameplay is kind of like still interesting, and I want to see how they can navigate these different scenarios.
Somewhat entertained.
But rush the final six, please? I just don't want them to rush it, but they probably will.
All right, let's throw this out there. Who's going to be the first one to take the shot at the cookout? Which cookout member is going to be the first one to take the shot?
I still think Tiffany.
I think Tiffany as well. Yeah, Tiffany understands she has to. And the only other one I can see is, maybe Kylie, maybe Xavier.
I think Big D maybe could just get so annoyed with Tiffany he tries to take a shot.
But that he would have to win something. Like,
I agree. I'm just saying. But we are saying who's the most likely to take that shot.
Yeah, I know. Big D could take that shot.
And,
oh, by the way.
We also haven't had a quiz in a while, right?
It is a quiz. They just got the videos. Yeah, they're studying right now. Tammy Ross in the chat says
they have to study. I don't trust Big D to study.
Well, obviously not, but everybody else.
Hannah.
It is a memory comp. They saw videos earlier. They were studying.
Is Hannah Wynn interesting? I feel like that's another one that's like
slightly whatever. Boring. Again, I'm not gonna fall for any of this. Are they interesting until they actually show me something? Like, I'm just like, here's the thing, Alex. I want to be annoyed. Don't take me out of my annoyance, okay? I don't want to think about hope. I don't want hope is dead.
Think about Sarah.
No, I want this so that next week you're even more mad.
I mean, just get a picture of Sarah Beth and put it up every time he starts to get annoyed that he's not getting annoyed.
Oh, I love this. No, Brent, I'm just trying to stir the pot with you.
Oh, it's fine. Like, I'm just like, I feel like I've used up all my annoyance on Sarah Beth and everybody else who's playing badly this week. It's like Big Brother. Some people are playing immaculately. Kylan, Xavier, other people are playing abysmally. Sarah Beth, Claire, Derek X. Like, you know, so here we are.
Brent, do you have the paddle with you?
I do not.
Damn it. I was going to wonder how many people are getting the paddle this week.
I think more people get the paddle than not. Yes.
Okay, we're dead serious though. Like, you legit I think you can give this, even in the USB's HOH, give her a one. Probably give Alyssa a one.
Oh, yeah. She's dead in the water unless she wins veto.
Claire a one.
They're all dead.
They're all dead in the water.
Yeah, Sarahbeth is dead in the water. Even if she wins veto, like, this, so what? She's gonna comp out? Like, I mean, is she? Yeah. She's gonna keep when she, girl. Like,
we'll just make every comp a balance beam.
Anyone in the cookout has to comp out from here on forward. Like, it's impossible. It's done. Unless something crazy happens.
Unless something at the final seven, because that's gonna be the triple eviction night, and there's gonna be one non-cookout member there. And so what happens then?
Yep.
Weird stuff happens when things move fast.
I cannot wait for this cookout to have to come at each other. I really cannot wait. And if that means if the end game is a bit longer, where we're seeing, I think there is actually intrigue this season to the end of the game, whereas there usually isn't. Like once we get down to 5 and 4,
right?
As long as the guys aren't steamrolling.
I'm the opposite. I will say it's too big of a steamroll.
I do need to go. So I need to be done by 10:30. So like we need to wrap it up.
All right, let's wrap it up. Basically, we can all agree, Sarahbeth, screw you. You know what? we will wipe our ass.
Screw you, Sarahbeth.
And you know what? I can't. I can't with her. I can't with her. And she's just trying to be the villain. Like, why are you trying to be the villain all of a sudden? Like, it's just changed out of nowhere.
I'm fine with you trying that. Like, I'd rather she try to be the villain than, like, not, I guess, owning any of what she's doing. I respect that. Like, I'll give her that credit. Like, she's trying something. Although I wish she tried to play the game better, but that's another discussion. I think Alyssa at the beginning of the episode said, God, I need a tequila shot. That's how I feel right now watching this season and talking about it.
No, screw her. all right, guys, let's wrap this up. So you guys have anything else, anything you want to plug before we get out of here? Brent?
Anything I want to plug? You know, I'm sure many people may not have been following this, but Victory House on YouTube has been doing The Mole all season. It's like they edited the episodes together, similar to like Sequester season 4. It's a little more it's more interesting, I feel like, but you really have to follow it. But you can jump in because the finale is coming up this coming Monday. Four people are at the end. One of them is the mole. It's going to be very fun. You can always find it on The Mole at Victory House on YouTube for those of you who want to check it out, because I have been living for it all season. It's a lot of fun. And basically not a lot of stuff has been happening predictability wise in the Big Brother house. So I've been looking for other things to watch. So it's been pretty cool. And you can always find me at One Lucky Gay on Twitter and other social media platforms at One Lucky Gay, one spelled out O-N-E.
Yeah, Alex, anything you want to plug, and where can people find you?
I actually do want to plug one thing. It's Reality NSFW's own podcast that Fair Play just released today with Survivor Africa's Lex Vandenberg. His wife, Kelly, has kidney disease, and he did a really interesting podcast with her. It's about an hour long, talking about all that she's been through and how she continues living life just in such a positive way, despite dealing with a chronic disease. Awesome. And all she's asking for is to people to like be kind, be nice, and to donate to your local SPCA. And you can find your local charity near you and donate in some way to help them out. As for me, I am on Twitter and Instagram at Alex M. Rubino. If for some reason you want to see me pretty much tweet nothing. But yeah, that's really it. Just thank you guys for having me again. I love being here. And yes, you guys have made the season so much more enjoyable. So
you can find me at Goodspeed Bobby. I want to plug Alex. This is possibly your final show. We might have you on the line down the season. I know you start college next week, so we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Brent and I, for being a part of this season with us. You've been fantastic covering this with us. If you can come on any other week, just let us know. But I know you'll be busy with school. So we are just very, very thankful for all that you do, and especially hosting last week while I was gone. You know, I know you guys had some technical difficulties, but hey, we just appreciate your help and appreciate you being there. And thank you for all that you do. Like I said, I'm at Goodspeed Bobby. He's at Brent at One Lucky Gay. And then you said at Alex M. Rubino on Twitter.
Yep.
Perfect. All right, guys, we will get out of here with one more of your favorite commercial breaks. We will see you next Wednesday following the Wednesday episode of Big Brother. We'll see you then. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. But you know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth generation performance package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code SURVIVOR.
Brent, if you're paying attention right now, now I know that you've probably had a mishap in the past and you've been trimming down there with not the tools for the job. Well, Brent, that's right. I'm talking to you. I have come to save you, but not just me. The folks at Manscaped. The world is starting to open up, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts. What's that, you ask? Performance boxer briefs and the shed travel bag.
Talk about a world-class dismount into the post-quarantine world. This package is the perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. Wink, wink. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that you can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities.
Now, this package also comes with the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home gold in the biathlon. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motored 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
After trimming your pubes, show them some sportsmanship with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year. Manscaped's also throwing in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0. That's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag.
Now go right now to get 20% off and free shipping using promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off, free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in three flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.